Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This text makes me crazy. And probably should make you crazy too. It always reads to me like an algebra equation. If a red train left Chicago at 3 p.m. and traveled 60 miles an hour toward New York, and a blue train left New York at 112 miles an hour, at what time would it arrive in Cincinnati? It wouldn't, and we don't care. The Sadducees are asking Jesus, I think, a really honest question. For them, the resurrection of the dead just doesn't happen. It's not part of their understanding of how God works in the world. And so to hear people talk about the Messiah, and to hear in that section, the 20th chapter of Luke, where Jesus speaks of the end times, when, you know, stone will not be left against a stone, and all things will be reconciled to God, that the Messiah will come again in a cloud, makes no sense. And so they ask him the question. From their own law, from Jesus' own law, what happens if a woman gets married, doesn't have children? Well, by law of Moses, then the brothers are obligated to marry her. Now, it goes on for seven brothers, which frankly seems rather unfair to the wife. One of those seven brothers is bound to be a dud. But she gets stuck with all seven brothers, and then in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And Jesus' answer is to use their own theology to answer the question. God is the God of the living and not the dead. And when the Messiah comes again and God reconciles all things to God's self, all of that stuff just won't matter. It will be different. Naturally, as human beings, we think of everything from within our own context. And so we envision the time when Jesus comes again and God has reconciled all things to God's self, that it will be like this, only better. It's going to be fun. And I'll be, you know, if my wife dies before me, I'll meet her in the heavenly gates, but I'll be thinner. And all of our problems will somehow go away. But it'll be just like this. But instead of driving a Saturn, I'm going to be in a Porsche. Jesus says that's not it. It will be different. And you don't need to know how it is. All you need to know is that you will be with God. This God, who is the God of the living, is God of all things. Now, he jumps right in after this text to say, so then, how will you live? The question for the Sadducees and for so many of us, especially as we get older, is what will it be like? But Jesus' question over and over and over again throughout his ministry is, what is it like now? The promise of the resurrection is already done. And we know in this post-resurrection or post-crucifixion life of ours that God's promise is being fulfilled in Jesus Christ, even for us unto death. The issue of salvation and resurrection is God's deal. It's done. So it doesn't matter which of the seven brothers you're going to end up with. You know, if it was hell, you'd probably end up with all of them. But in heaven, it just doesn't matter. focus of Christ's message in the gospel is, what will you do now? My friend Ruth and I were talking about this text one day, and she said, I have a great, great illustration for what it should be like now. How should the church be in the world in light of the resurrection? She said, think of it like the church is a submarine. And I looked at her and I thought, I know you're a little close to Pearl Harbor. Keep coming, sister. And she said, well, think about it. The church is in the water, in the submarine. It's not, remember, of the water, right? You should be in the world, but not of the world, as Paul says. So, and I'm thinking, hey, this has some merit. This is starting to work for me. So they're in the submarine, and the world is all around, and you're going through the world in the submarine. And I thought, well, okay, this is working. And then she said, and the other thing is that when you take the submarine out of the world, out of the water, what is it good for? If you take the submarine out of the water, it's good for nothing. It just sits there with a bunch of little guys in white suits going, what's the deal? And I sort of liked the idea, except that it seemed to miss a piece of what Christ calls us to. The submarine is in the water and safely insulated from it. There's no interaction. I'm a sailor, so I thought, well, maybe a different image for what the church is like in light of Christ's promise for the resurrection. It must be like a boat. I mean, there's all kinds of boat image in the scriptures. And I thought, of course, it's like a boat. And the world is, we're floating on it. Well, it's almost worse than the submarine. But it's what we do, isn't it? You know, when we're really involved in the church, then we're like the submarine swimming, you know, we're going through the world and we're viewing it through big portholes going, boy, that's awful. Or, gosh, that's beautiful. But we're warm and we're dry. And when we're in that boat with its glass bottom, we can look down on everyone, but we stay safely above. I think the image that Jesus uses is that of the swimmer. And finally, that's where I settled as I began to think about Christ calling God's people into the world. We're not supposed to be the church that is the submarine where we all do our little jobs within our little tube, gliding safely through the water, and every once in a while, take a look outside and see what's happening out there, and either shoot off a torpedo, do it in, or have a nice chat about it. Instead, we're called to dive deep. Skin dive. Actually get into the water, into the world. Move through it. Feel its currents coursing by our body of Christ. Maybe even get wrinkly fingers every once in a while. And occasionally get that big gulp of salt water that makes you cough and hack up and go, bah, bah, that's not it. It's only when we swim in the water, when we dive deep and we feel those changes in temperature and the pressure on our ears, and we burst up from the surface, breathing in the Spirit, that we begin to appreciate the power of the promise. As long as we in the church stay safely in our boat or ensconced in our submarine, then we miss what it means to be the resurrection people. To share with the world what it means to have the promise of God. Jesus says to the Sadducees and to us, God is the God of the living. some have said that especially a mainline Christianity is no longer the living. One commentator suggested that perhaps what Jesus really is saying is that God would like to be the God of the lively as well as the God of the living. So imagine what it would be like for us in the church to take seriously what Christ says over and over again: do not be afraid. Get out of the boat. What happens to Peter? Peter jumps out of the boat. He walks about three steps. He has to swim. And I think it's true for us as well. There is a whole world outside of the walls of every Christian church aching to hear the message of freedom in Christ. As long as we stay quietly and comfortably ensconced in our little submarines, they will never hear more than a murmur. But when we dive deep and take a chance, even a chance of death, giving up what is comfortable for the sake of the kingdom, the world changes. So what would it be like to be deep divers, as one author puts it? To be unafraid, to take a big breath, go as deep as we can and see what the world has to offer. Not become part of it, dissolved into it and indistinguishable from it, but soaked with its wetness. Filled with its coolness and its warmth. To have the smell of the sea on our breath as we proclaim Jesus is Lord. What would that look like? To give everything for that. Just imagine that. Amen.